Acts chapter 25, and I'll be reading verse 13 to 18, since the whole context has been already read for us. Acts chapter 25 and verse 13 to 18. Now when some days had passed, Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. And as they stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a man left prisoner by Felix, and when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews laid out their case against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it was not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face and had opportunity to make his defense concerning the charge laid against him. So when they came together here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I suppose. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, the climax of this service, when we are going to hear from your word. Speak to us, O Lord, through your word. And Lord, help us to put in practice whatever we hear, so that we will live holy lives, which will be pleasing in your sight. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're continuing with our series in the book of Acts. And remember, we left it the other Sunday on chapter 25 and verse 12. And that's where we can pick it from today. The people of the world will always bring accusations against Christians. But what matters most is whether you are innocent, you as a Christian, whether you're innocent of those accusations or not. If an honest report was made about the accusations which are brought to you by the world, would that report show that you are blameless of all these accusations? In this portion of scripture before us, an honest report was made about the Apostle Paul concerning the charges which were brought against him. And the report clearly shows that he was innocent, blameless of the charges which were brought against him. Is it possible for any other Christian to be like Paul in this case? I think it is possible. That's why we're going to consider this text under the title, "Strive to always be found blameless of the world's accusations against you." We'll consider three headings under this title. The first heading will be, "You should be blameless of the accusations of common crimes." Common crimes committed by the world. The second heading will be, "Your faith should be the only ground for fault or accusation." And lastly, we shall look at this heading, "You should be blameless of the charges of crimes which the world considers worthy of death." Let us now look at our first heading. You should be blameless of the accusations of common crimes committed by the people of the world. In verse 12, we saw that Paul appealed to appear before Caesar in Rome. But before he was sent to go to Rome to appear before Caesar, in this passage we see that it was arranged that he appears before King Agrippa, who had come to visit the governor then, Festus. So at this occasion, it was arranged that Paul appears before this king. And this King Agrippa is the one known as Herod Agrippa II, who was the son of King Agrippa I, whom we read of in chapter 12, the one who killed James and also wanted to kill Peter. And we see that he visited Festus with his sister Bernice, and sadly it is recorded that they were living in an incestuous relationship. But on this occasion, he stayed for some days before Paul was brought to him. And we learn that in his report to Festus' report to King Agrippa, he shows that one of the reasons why Paul was allowed when we turn to verse 18, we read this written to us concerning the reports of made of Paul by this governor Festus. We read that when the accusers stood up, they brought no charges in his case of such evils as I supposed. So Festus must have been told that the charges against Paul were the common charges which would be brought against the worldly people. He must have thought that maybe Paul was caught stealing or fighting, or had committed a crime which was common among the people of the world. But in his report, he shows that to his surprise, the charges which the Jews brought against Paul were not the common charges. And you as a Christian should strive that this is the case with you always. When the world brings charges against you, on examination, it should be shown that you are innocent of those common charges or common crimes committed by the people of the world. Because you as a Christian, you are a new creature in Jesus Christ, and your lifestyle is expected to be different from that of the world. It should be a lifestyle which hates sin and seeks to forsake sin all the time, so that you seek holiness and seek to live a life which will be pleasing in God's sight. And you'll be bearing a very bad testimony to the gospel, If on examination it's proved that you're guilty of the charges of the common crimes which are committed by the people in the world. For those of you who are still studying, you know how it is easy for students to organize and gather up themselves and start up a strike or demonstration. And such demonstrations which lead to loss of property and loss of lives. When such a strike happens, for example, and maybe the police is called to investigate who led it or who were involved in it, surely you as a Christian, it should be found on examination that you are not part of such a strike or demonstration. Well, someone who hates you, maybe among the students, may accuse you as one of those who were part or who led the strike. But on examination, on an honest report, it should be seen clearly that you are innocent of such a charge or accusation. At your workplace, if police came, for example, to investigate a case of fraud or corruption, would you be found blameless of such an accusation if you were accused? Or your fellow employees or employers would say, well, he or she claims to be a Christian, but they are not innocent of such an accusation or charge. If that were true, it would mean that you are compromising the world. And you are not bearing good testimony to the gospel. At your places of residence, can your neighbors there say that this person is not guilty of the charges brought against them? Maybe let's say they accuse you of disturbing the peace of the area in which you are staying in. Would you be blameless of such an accusation? Because you won't be if, for example, you are playing all the time, you play loud music which disturbs the peace of your neighbors. Even if you play with the intention that maybe they will hear the gospel from that music. But as I said, Christians, you won't stop the world from bringing accusations against you. But what matters is, are you innocent, blameless in the accusations they bring against you? And if you're found to be guilty, then you're failing to fulfill your responsibility as a Christian. Which is that of being the light and the salt of the world. May we always seek to heed, for example, what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. When he writes and says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Yes, many people in the world will see you as evildoers. Even when you are seeking to live a holy life. But you should ensure that you are always blameless of the accusations. So that the only right accusation which they can bring against you will be that you are serious or you are faithful in your religion and faith. And that brings us to our second heading, which is your faith should be the only right accusation which the world is able to bring before you. So as Festus continues to give a report to Agrippa concerning Paul, we see that he says this in verse 19. It says, rather they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. So Festus shows that the only issue which he sees that they bring up against Paul is about the religion, his religion. And of course he thinks that Paul is still part of the Jewish religion. That's why he calls it their religion. But of course to Festus, this was not a violation of the Roman law at all. And hence it was not an issue, it was not a ground of accusation in any way. But to the Jews, this was a serious accusation which even made them want to kill Paul. And even Paul himself understood that the only accusation which was being brought against him was concerning that of his faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why he says this in chapter 24 and verse 20 and 21. Says, oh, else let this man themselves say what wrong they have found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them. It is respect to the resurrection of the dead that I'm on trial before you this day. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so central to the Christian faith. Because without it, actually there will be no Christianity. Because who would have believed someone who made the promises which our Lord Jesus Christ made and then die and don't rise again? And also the resurrection of Jesus Christ was an evidence that what he did on the cross actually satisfied the justice of God and appeased his wrath. It was an evidence that he fought and won a mighty battle against the devil and against sin. That's why Paul was willing to preach Christ and the resurrection again and again, in spite of all the persecutions they brought against him. And even you as a Christian, you should treasure the gospel, and whenever you get an opportunity, preach it and ensure that you are living a life which is worthy of the gospel which you always preach. So that the only charge the world can bring against you rightly should be on the ground that you preach the gospel and live a life which bears good testimony to the gospel. Of course, such a charge will not be a charge of wrongdoing in any way. And of course, your case should be like that of Daniel, whom we read of during our first reading. where we read that the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could not find any ground for complaint. Because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. That's why they decided to find ground of fault in connection to the law of this God. Whether it is your place of residence or place of study, seek always to be faithful in whatever you do, so that people fail to find a genuine accusation against you, and they will seek to find it on the ground of your faith or Christianity. But I know that many of you are not like Daniel in this case. If people at your workplace, for example, sought to find fault against you, they would easily find it. But they will say, he comes late. He doesn't finish his tasks. Or you as a student, maybe your teachers will say, he does not finish the assignments given. Or she dodges lectures or classes many times. They'll say, although he claims to be a Christian, but we find faults in many times in the way he acts in this workplace or place of study. And if that's the case, again, you'll be failing to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll be conforming yourself to the pattern of this world. The only accusation they should bring against you should be like the case of Daniel. Should be because of your faith and not because of your sinful lifestyle. If you are to be thrown into prison, let it not be because you murdered or because you stole, but because you are faithful in preaching the gospel and living in a life which pleases God. It shouldn't be like in the case of some of the pastors which I had were thrown into prison some time back, because their churches were making a lot of noise for the community around them. And even when they approached them, they did not reduce that lot of noise. As a Christian, for example, at your place of work, the accusation against you should be void because you refuse to take bribes. But not because you take them. As a student, it should not be because you join those evil groups and go on committing sin or sexual morality in your place of study. But they should forge an accusation because you refuse to join them in such sinful lifestyles. And of course, when they bring such accusations against you, you should not worry. They shouldn't affect you in any way. In such a case, you should know that they are treating you the way they treated your Lord. And hence, you should rejoice for being counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. But if it's otherwise, then you'll be, because you're compromising with the world. And in that case, you need to repent and seek to honor God in whatever you do. And if the world brings accusations against you because of your faith, that should not in any way affect your zeal or devotion towards God. Example, because they have brought false accusations against you while you're preaching the gospel, that should not make you to stop preaching the gospel. And because your fellow students make accusations because you don't join them in their evil lifestyles, that shouldn't make you compromise and live like them. Okay, you should be like Daniel here. Well, we saw that when he heard that the document was signed to prevent him from carrying on his personal devotion, he did not fear, he just went ahead to continue with his personal devotional routine as he had always been doing. So actually such accusations, instead of killing your zeal, they should make you even more zealous and more devoted to the cause of Christ. And thirdly, let's look at our third heading, which says, you should be blameless of the charges of crimes which the world considers worthy of death. The Jews wanted Paul dead by all means. And if Paul had accepted to go to Jerusalem, they would have killed him on the way, as we saw in the previous section, that they had made an ambush. They planned to make an ambush against him. And actually, Festus wanted to give them an opportunity when he said Paul should go to Jerusalem and stand before him there. But God, of course, was still protecting his servant and preparing him to go to Rome and testify of him there. And so as Festus in this section continues with his reports to Agrippa concerning Paul, we read in verse 24 and 25 this. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me both in Jerusalem and here shouting that he ought not to live any longer than 25 and the first part. But I found that he had done nothing deserving of death. This was again an honest report about Paul from this pagan governor. And although, according to the Jews, Paul was supposed to be put to death, but Festus, upon examination, he sees that Paul had not committed any offense which was worthy of putting him to death. And it may be the same with you even today, the way the world hates Christ and his people. They may seek to put you to death. But it shouldn't be because you have done a crime which deserves for you to be put to death. that it should just be a false accusation, like the Jews wanted to falsely accuse Paul and even sentence him to death. As a Christian, you should always try to be sure that we are not among the capital offenders. Those whom the laws of the country, because the state has been given the sword, can rightly be sentenced to be put to death. A few days ago, an army officer killed another a parent in a school because they had gone to the same school to pick their children. And just a simple disagreement on who should enter the gate first. This army officer shoots the other parent and kills him. And of course, according to the laws of this country, that army officer committed a capital offense, which is even deserving death if he's taken to the courts of law. Can a true Christian reach that level? Can a true Christian also shoot and kill someone? I believe it is possible if one is taking their spiritual life for granted and relaxed in it, they can reach to such a level. But be it far from you that you should be one of those capital offenders. Many Christians, especially in church history, were sentenced to death. But of course, it was not because they committed crimes which were deserving death. But it was because of the false accusations which were brought against them. And even you today, if you were to be sentenced to death, let it be on a false accusation and not that you have committed a crime which is deserving of death. And if that happens, you'll actually be following the footsteps of your dear Lord. And many of his followers who were killed because of false charges. In closing, probably there's someone here who says, well, when I look back, I've not been blameless in many of the accusations which have been brought against me. No, I've not been blameless. Is there hope for me? Yes, I want to assure you that there's hope for you in Christ. And if you're truly a Christian, you should not despair. But rather you should repent and seek the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to put to death the remaining sin in you so that you will seek always to live a holy life which will be pleasing in God's sight. Most importantly, take the means of grace seriously. Take prayer seriously. As we have sung, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Well, you go to him again and again, and as we have sung, tell him that I'm weak, but you are strong.
Keep me from all wrong. Seek daily to have a closer walk with God so that you'll be able to overcome the temptations which come on your side. So that He helps you to put off the old man and put on the new man. And you as a Christian, this will help you to always have a clear conscience before God and before men. Also, be very careful about the company which you move with. If your closest friends are non-believers, they will easily influence you into their sinful lifestyle. But as we have sung again, make friends of God's children. This will help you stir you up to good works and love, so that again and again you seek to honor God through your lifestyle. Of course, it will not be possible for you to ultimately be blameless of any sin while you're still here. Because sinless perfection cannot be achieved here below. But that should be your goal. That's what should be you should be striving for day by day. And you is not a Christian. Again, your only hope is in Jesus Christ. The first step for you to seek to live a blameless life in this world of sin is to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Cry to Him to save you from your sins even this day. Because if you remain in your sins till He comes, you will not be able to stand before Him as the judge of the whole earth. He alone can save you and give you a new heart so that you'll be able to seek to live a holy life and seek to be blameless of the accusations of the world. But may God help all of us that we always seek to be blameless of the accusations of the world. And even be like Paul here, even when they Festus sought to write some charges so that he would go with to Caesar. He failed to get even a single church. May God help us that that will be our state here below. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Help us, O Lord, that we will, as your people, seek to honor you here below, seek to be blameless of the accusations of the world, not compromise with the world. Help those who are still in their sins that they will turn away from their sins and turn to you and live holy lives which will be pleasing in your sight. Pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.